Take your Bibles out, if you would, and turn to the book of Acts, and chapter 2 is where we're going to get started. We're going to jump around to a number of different spots in the scripture this morning, but Acts chapter 1 we're going to start. So if you open to Acts chapter 2, you'll be really close and you won't have any trouble finding it from there. Acts chapter 1 is actually the first text that we're going to look at. Let's pray together before we begin. Our God, we humble ourselves before you and just thank you for another week of all the blessings that you have provided for us. We thank you for another week that we could come before you and cast our cares and our burdens upon you. And we thank you, God, for giving us the grace and sustaining us through some things that are really difficult and some things that we look at as being pretty easy. But God, we just thank you for upholding us and helping us and strengthening us in all that has transpired. And this week, we give you glory, Father, for the wonderful promise of eternal life. And God, just pray that you'd help us not to become complacent to that, but always excited about the fact that we have this free gift of everlasting life. We have a relationship with the living God, and help us, God, to see the excitement in that every single day, and that, God, that our love for you would just be evident in everything that we're involved in and everything that that transpires. And God, we thank you that this morning we can pray for our brothers and sisters who are having physical issues. We keep praying for donor for Jimmy that would be a match, and we pray for Brother Paul, who's under the weather this morning. Thank you for Don and Mike and their recovery from their surgery. We pray for Nova that she wouldn't have to have surgery, that this infection would go away. And we think of our brother Sandor and the pain that he has, and Anita with the difficulty that she's having, Joe and his lung issues. And we think also, Lord, this week that Joanna's going to be having a baby on Wednesday, Lord willing. And we pray, God, for a safe and delivery, healthy baby. And just ask, God, that you would go before all of those things, and we just thank you for that. And we pray, dear God, for you to help us this week to grow in our relationship and our walk with you, and thank you, God, for the difficulties that come into our life that cause us to reach out to you, that to draw near to you, to focus more upon you. And God, we just praise you for those things, and pray that from that we will grow in our relationship and our walk with you. And this morning, Father, as we talk about something that's real vital in regard to our relationship with you, we ask, Heavenly Father, that you would just go before us and help us to understand the concepts of the things that took place in the early church, the beginning of the church, and how they need to be carried over into the day and age that we live in, things that we're involved in now as a church family. And we just ask, God, that you would guide us and direct us and help us to understand. And God, if there's areas or places or ways that we need to be different, we need to be changed, we need to make a difference in the way that we live and act, we pray, God, that you would allow us to be open to those things and make the decisions and make the changes that you want us to make. And we just love you and praise you and thank you, God, for this time to be together this morning. And we ask, God, for your hand to be upon us. In Jesus' precious name we ask these things. Amen. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions this morning, and probably I already know the answers, but I want us to ask the questions to get us thinking in the direction that I would like us to go. The first question is, how many of you believe that prayer is something that is important? Okay, probably all of us would agree. Prayer is something that is something that's really really important. Question number two in regard to prayer. Well, just thinking about the importance of prayer. You know, God tells us in 1 Thessalonians to pray without ceasing. God tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And you see different places all through Scripture where Jesus prayed, and one of the great passages that people look at all the time and repeat regularly is what is known as the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus was doing what at that point in time? He was teaching his disciples this is how to pray. This is what prayer ought to be all about. And so as you read through Scripture, you see that Scripture was just from the very beginning, Scripture was full of people praying, people doing this on a regular basis, and also God's encouragement to do that. So question number two is this. Is praying with another person important? How many of you would say it would be important to pray with somebody else? Okay, most of us would probably say, "Yep, that's a good thing." Praying with somebody else, and so my title of my message this morning is corporate prayer. The idea of praying not individually, because some people say, based upon the text in Matthew chapter 6, that we ought to go into our closet and pray. But I think we'll see as we go along here that there's time for closet praying. And there's time for praying with other people. And so this morning we're going to talk about praying with other people. Number three, the hardest question to fulfill, the easiest question to answer is this. Do you pray enough? How many of you think you pray enough? Be real proud and be arrogant of yourself and say, "Yep, I pray enough." We're all going to say no to that, right? I don't pray enough. You don't pray enough. Praying is, whenever the standard is praying always, then we know we fall short of the standard. And so, prayer is something that we need to be involved in more. And even prayer in the corporate aspect ought to be something that we are involved in on a more regular basis. So, let's start out with this question: what is prayer? I'll never forget one time I was in a Sunday school class, and this person we were talking about prayer in this Sunday school class, and I said to this person, what kind of things do you pray? And this is somebody who saved and apparently was not very well grounded, developed, or matured. And they say, "Well, I prayed just what the Bible says: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And that was their prayer. And I thought, wow, nothing wrong with that. I'm not downgrading that. But there's other things that that need to be prayed about. There's other ways that we can talk to God. And usually what happens whenever our prayer is "Our Father who art in heaven," the what we call the Lord's Prayer, is that it gets faster every time. "Our Father who art in heaven," and then "Our Father who art in heaven," "Our Father," and pretty soon we're just cranking that out because it becomes sort of a rote kind of thing that we do. And I like the definition of prayer. What is prayer? To be very very simple, and that is prayer is talking to God. Okay, just simply me talking to God. Okay, and just think about this: if you had a conversation with somebody, your husband, your wife, or anyone else, and you said the same thing to them over and 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 over again, pretty soon they'd say what? "Stop! I had enough! I don't want any more! That's it! Say something different." And that's the idea of a relationship, is that you share what's on your heart, what's in your emotions, what are your struggles, what are your trials, what are your difficulties. You share those with God, okay? And sometimes, those things need to be shared in the closet, right? Everybody doesn't need to know about all of your sins. Everybody doesn't need to know about all of your thought life. Everybody doesn't need to know about all the things that are going on in your mind. You know, there are things that is just between you and God. You know, sort of like, you know, when you're married, right? There are certain things that you say to your husband, you say to your wife, that you'd never say to anybody else in the whole world. Because you have that closeness of a relationship. And I think that that's true about us and our relationship with God. But when we're talking about prayer, we're talking about simply talking to God and sharing with God the things that are going on in our hearts. The second thing about prayer is that prayer is not bending God's will to my will. You know, it's not like, well, I'm going to pray and I'm going to grab God and I'm going to wrestle him down till he'll do what I want him to do. Right? Because if we always got our will, things would really be a mess, wouldn't they? We want God's will, okay? And so sometimes praying is bending my thoughts, my ideas, the things that are going with me, bending them to what God's desire is, what God's plan is, what God is doing. You just stop and think. Let's just jump over to, if you would, for a second, to the book of James, in chapter one, and just thinking about the idea of praying and bending our will and our desire and our plan to the things of God. In James chapter one and verse 2, he says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." And I don't know about you, but I have a hard time with that. When I have struggles, I want to whine and complain and try to get out of things. But he says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing this, that the testing of your faith worketh patience." And sometimes, you just have to pray over these things and talk to God about these things, and it just takes on a different form whenever we're complaining to God about what's going on in life. It helps to change our will and our plan, okay? So when we're thinking about praying, we're talking about, talking to God, us relating to God to things that are going on in our life, needs and joys and all of those kind of things, and we'll develop that a little bit more as we go along. But also it's talking about not bending God's will to my will, but me bending myself to God. Now, let's look in the book of Acts as some illustrations of corporate prayer where people were praying together in the book of Acts. So Acts chapter 1 and verses, let's start reading verse 12. And we'll read through verse 14. Acts chapter 1. Now you realize that this is right after the ascension of the Lord, right? He has gone up into to heaven. The angels or the men who were left there, they said, "Why do you stand here looking up into heaven? Why are you doing that?" So the next verse 12, it says, "And they returned unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey." Okay, so they left where the ascension took place. They went back to Jerusalem, and it says, "And when they were come in, they went up into the upper room where abode Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas, and the son of James." And it says, "And they all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, was with them." Okay, so after the ascension, they're probably saying, "What are we going to do now? Not only did Jesus die, but we saw him again, so we're all excited about what's going to take place. But now he's ascended, and the guys that were there said, he's going to come back down from the clouds. What are we going to do? What's going to take place?" And so they're wondering, they're looking for some direction, what does God want us to do now? What's the plan? Jesus taught us all of these, wonderful and neat kind of things, but, what do we do with it? And so what did they do? They all got together and they prayed about it. "God, what are we going to do now? How are we going to handle this situation? What's your plan for us? How is this all going to work out? What's going to take place?" But they got together as a body of believers so that they could call out to God and explain to God, what their struggle was, what their trial was, what was taking place. Turn to chapter 2. chapter 2 was the answer to their prayers. In chapter 1, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and God told them that they were going to be people that were going to be proclaiming the gospel message. You're going to, and there are thousands of people that got saved. But after the people got saved, notice chapter 2, verses 41 and 42, it says, "And they gladly received," after these people got saved, it says, "they gladly received his word, were baptized, and the same day they were added to the church 3,000 souls." So, Peter preached this awesome message and, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and all of these people got saved. Verse 42, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers." They kept praying together as a body of believers. And now, it wasn't just a little bit of a body of believers. Now they had several thousand of them that they got together, and they shared in prayers, and they shared in the apostles' doctrine, and they shared in the bread, and all of these things that they were doing together. But part of their being together was that they prayed as a body of believers together. Turn over to chapter 12 in the book of Acts. And I just picked out a couple of illustrations of what took place in the book of Acts as far as praying together. But in Acts chapter 12, let's start reading at verse 5. Well, let's start with verse 1. 12:1, it says, "Now about the time that Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, delivered him to the four quadrennians of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing by the church unto God." Okay, so Peter was in jail. They had already killed James. And so Peter was in jail, and he was going to be the next one that they were going to kill. And so the church began to do what? They're praying. They're talking to God. God, what are you going to do here? God, how are you going to handle this situation? God, are you going to deliver him? Please help us here. "And when Herod would have brought him forth that same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord came unto him, and the light shone in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise quickly. And the chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind up thy sandals. So he did, and he said unto him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and knew not that it was true what he had done by the angels, but thought that he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and second guard, they came unto the iron gate that led to the city, which opened of its own accord, and they went out and passed on through the street, and immediately the angel departed from him." So what happened? The church prayed, and what happened? God sent an angel. And the angel came down and delivered Peter out of the prison. And again, get the picture here that, the church was together and the church was praying. They were corporately, they were asking God, God, deliver this Peter. And so, as you look through scriptures and you read the prayers that go forth in some of the New Testament books, you see that praying together as a church body, praying together as a group of believers, corporate prayer was something that was important and something that God used to do some wonderful things in the life of the church. Okay, so a couple of things there. Next question. Why do we pray together? Or what happens to us? What is the results of praying together? What is the purpose of praying together? What takes place? Let me throw out a couple of ideas. One, when we pray together, we worship God together. Think about praying. You think about the things you do. And our prayers are not just, God, deliver Peter out of jail and God, heal this particular person and God, what are we going to do? Prayers are also praise. You know, if we're thanking God for for His salvation, we're thanking God for the blessings that He has bestowed upon us. We're thanking God for the salvation He has given us. And so, when we get together and we pray, it's sort of like a small worship service where we're giving adoration and praise and we're giving glory to God, and you do that with an intimacy that you don't have with a larger group of people. As each one shares the blessings that attributes or the characteristics of God that lifts them up, it's the idea of we worship God in the midst of our praying together as a body of believers. And again, you do that also, or I would hope that you do that also, in your closet when you pray too, that you're lifting up God and you're glorifying Him. The next thing it does is it's developing a unity of purpose. Okay? When was the last time you prayed together with somebody and got into a fight over what you're praying about? Doesn't usually happen, right? Or at least we hope it never that doesn't happen. We're developing a unity of purpose. You're praying with somebody and you see their heart, you see their emotion, you see their zeal for things that are going on, or needs that people have, or changes they want to see in their life, and you something that you sort of catch hold of that and say, wow, yeah, look at that, or wouldn't that be great if that happens, and those kind of things. And so you develop a unity of purpose. It draws you closer together because you're unified in what you're asking for. You're unified in what you're beseeching God for. You're unified in what you're giving to God. And so it draws you together in a closer manner whenever you pray with somebody, because whenever you're praying to somebody, you're really opening yourself up to God, and that other person is sort of they're listening to the things that are taking place whenever you do that. The one that we know for sure that we do all the time is that when we pray together, we're interceding for the needs of other people. Okay? We send out lots of emails talking about, this person has this need, and that person has that need, and this thing takes place. And the idea of that is not so that, wow, I got the latest gossip on so-and-so, and what's going on with them. The idea of sending that out is so that you can get before God and say, God, can you help in this situation? God, will you, heal in this situation? God, will you deliver in this situation? God, will you change the heart in this particular place, this particular situation? Because these people are needy. They have a need that they can't fix, they can't change, they can't work out. It has to be the hand of your hand, God, to work in this situation and change what's taking place here. And God, I'm just asking you, I'm beseeching you. And in some of those times, at least for me, I don't know the exact will of God in certain situations. Does God want to heal this particular person, or doesn't God want to heal this particular person? I don't know. I don't have the mind of God to understand those things. But we call out to God and say, God, give them grace, give them strength. If healing is your will, then that's what we want to take place. If healing is not your will, then God, they need your strength, and they need your hand to go through this difficulty your patience and your understanding, and they just need you, God, to hold their hand and walk them through this this whole situation. And so you're calling out, you're interceding on the behalf of other people, and we do that corporately, and we do that individually. But part of getting together is so that we can intercede on the behalf of other people and the needs that they have. The next one, another reason we do that, is that we have fellowship. Fellowship. Now, usually, whenever we have that word fellowship, we always have another weird word that goes right after that one. Starts with an M, ends with an L, and has an EA in the middle, right? So this would be fellowship that doesn't have anything to do with eating. Okay? This would be fellowship where, it's the two of us, we're uniting our purpose together. There would be several of us, so we're uniting our hearts together, and we're calling out to God on the behalf of other people. And again, you develop a closeness, you develop a fellowship, you develop a relationship with that person that you never had before, because, you're opening yourself up in ways that you don't normally open yourself up in a conversation. When you listen to somebody pray, you get a touch of their heart. You know, what's going on? What are they thinking about? What are they struggling about? What is it they're, you know, that they're calling out to God about? What is it that they're looking for? And so you get this, you know, you get this sense of community. You get this sense of fellowship. And so when we pray together, we develop a relationship with people that we don't normally have on a, you know, on a regular day-to-day kind of basis, because that calling out to God, that drawing close to God, draws us closer to one another. The last one happens for us, and there's probably other ones, but there's also encouragement that comes with praying together with one another. It's a blessing. You know, did you ever, you know, you're talking to somebody and they're having a struggle about something. You know, they're wrestling with something. You know, they have a problem with a physical thing or a family thing or a job thing or something like that, and somebody just says, well, can we just pray about it? And just let's just stop and ask God to change that thing right now. What does that do? It encourages you, right? Says, wow, yeah, they're interested enough in me. This other person is, you know, cares enough about me to just stop what they're doing right now and just go to God and try to get this, you know, to get things, you know, going in the right direction, to ask God to intercede, to ask God to help. And that doesn't mean that things are going to change just like that because you do that, but you have this encouragement because you prayed together. We know that whenever God hears prayers, God answers prayers, and so we understand the encouragement that goes along with that. So we have corporate prayer, we have this closet prayer, we'll call it, speaking to God. And so why do we do that? So we can develop worship and fellowship. We can have a unity in purpose. We can intercede and encourage one another. Now, let's go on and talk about a couple of helps when we're thinking about praying. Turn over, if you would, to the book of James, chapter 4, James chapter 4, and verse number 10. Whenever we come to God, we need to recognize who God is, who we're talking to. And we're talking to the God of the universe, the one who is the creator of the universe. Okay, the one who holds our lives in his hand. You know, the one who is the sustainer of everything that goes on. The one who is going to be the judge at the end of time. And so this verse 10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. One of the things that we need to do as we come to God in humility. And I think that's one of a good reason to get down on your hands and knees whenever you pray. Is it required to get on your hands and knees to pray? No. You can stand, you can drive while you're praying, you can stand while you're praying, you can sit while you're praying. You know, there's no formula for doing that. But when we on our hands and knees, we humble ourselves before God and we're asking God for his gracious hand to be upon us, to make changes. We're not standing up and saying, God, if you don't do this. We're coming to God and we're humbly asking, God, I know that you already love me. I know that you already love this person that I'm praying for. God, I'm asking you to do a work in their life. I'm humble before you, and I'm just asking you to do these things. And again, you know, you think about the difference when somebody comes to you and they come with a humble attitude and they ask you, or they come with an arrogant attitude when they ask you. You know, the arrogance usually puts your hands up like this, and humility usually puts their arms up like this, right? That kind of a difference. And so we come to God, you, in humility. Next one, number Psalm 145. Turn over there if you would. That we come to God in truth. We come to God in truth. Now, we could take this in a couple of different ways. But whenever I think about coming to God in truth, the verse is this. 145:18 says, the Lord is near unto all those who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. Okay? And whenever you're thinking about calling upon the Lord in truth, it's the idea that, you know, we're not stretching things to make ourselves look better, because God already knows how we look, right? It's not saying things in front of other people when we pray together corporately to make ourselves sound good. That we come to God in truth. You know, God, this is the truth. I'm a dirty, rotten sinner, and I don't deserve anything that you give. I only give these things because you are a merciful and gracious God, and I'm thankful to you. I don't deserve any of these things. And so you get the picture that we come to God, and we come to God in truth, and we're asking in truth. And this is what we desire. And God knows truth because God is truth. And so he recognizes that. So it's, you know, sort of a looking at our heart and saying, you know, am I the thing I'm praying about? Am I praying in the truth that God wants me to pray in? Next one, 1 John chapter 3, is that we come to God in obedience. We come to God in obedience. And that would be obedience to him, obedience to his word, being obedient to what God would have for us. Chapter 3 of the book of 1 John and verses 21 and 22. It says, "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. And whatever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." Okay, we receive because we come in obedience. You know, we're not on the one hand, telling lies and being deceitful, and then coming to God and saying, you know, God, will you answer my prayers? I'm praying about this particular thing. You know, we come because we come to God in obedience, and we say, you know, I, my heart is clean, my heart is right, my heart is pure before you, God, and so I'm asking you to answer these prayers for me. Please. Last one. Helps in prayer. Turn over, if you would, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And in Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 16, it talks about us coming to God. Whoops, I missed one on my notes there. So let's do Hebrews, since we're already there, and then we'll back up to Philippians. Hebrews chapter 4, that we come to God confidently, okay? And notice what he says, just a wonderful verse. He says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace." And again, not arrogantly, but boldly. You know, we come in, and we're bold to answer, ask God for these things because he has told us to. He says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in a time of need." So we come boldly to God and say, you know, God, here's what I need. You've told me to come and ask you. You told me not to worry about it. You told me to trust you. And so therefore, God, I'm coming to you and I'm asking you. We come boldly to the throne of grace. Back to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, a verse you're probably very familiar with. In verse 6, it says, "And be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds." Okay, so the idea there is that we're asking God, we're coming to God thankfully. God, thank you for hearing my prayers, and God, thank you for answering my prayers. Okay, so when we're talking about prayer, we're talking about the difference between closet prayer, where we're before God by ourselves. But this morning we want to talk about corporate prayer, as the idea of praying together as a body of believers, praying together as a church family. And my encouragement always is that you come on Wednesday nights and pray with us. Why? Well, all of the things that we have listed. So that we can worship together, so that we can intercede on behalf of other people. And whenever we see that as a priority in our church and in our church family, then we do that. Then we work together. And we recognize that, you know, that everybody's not available on Wednesday nights to do that. We understand that, but probably there's more available than what actually show up. But, you know, we won't go there at this point in time, because we don't want to make anybody feel bad. Well, not real bad, anyhow. But the other thing is that We have an idea of putting together another form of corporate prayer. And the idea of what we're going to propose for corporate prayer is not in substitute for getting together on Wednesday night and praying, but it would be a sort of on top of, to go along with, and for those of you that don't have the ability to be here on Wednesday to participate in this wonderful thing that we call corporate prayer. So Mr. Regner is going to come and talk about that for a couple of moments, and then we'll sing our closing song and we'll be dismissed. So Ed's going to come and share a couple of things in regard to praying together as a church family. Oh, one more thing. A couple of suggestions for praying. Pray for revival in our hearts individually, for revival in our church, and revival in our country. If there's anything that we need in the United States of America, anything we need in Winsted, Connecticut, anything we need in our own heart, is for God to give us that excitement, that passion that only He can give. So, Ed, come and share with us, if you would, please.
Bring our body into a relationship that's even stronger than it is with the Lord, and that can be done through prayer. And a lot of people in this country have been praying very hard, and I'm sure you have too, for our country and for the local government and so forth. And of course in Matthew 18:20, another verse on prayer would be, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. So anytime we join together, whether it be here or elsewhere, we have two or three are gathered, Christ is right there with us, listening to what we have to say. So it's very powerful, prayer is. And another thing that goes along with praying for the country and so forth is 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says, if my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins, heal their land. See, we need to repent as part of the beginning of every prayer time, because we are a sinful people, and we have allowed a lot of things to go on in this country that we need to ask God for forgiveness, that we, as Christians, didn't stand up to all the evil that is in our land. So we start off there by asking for forgiveness, that He will then hear our prayers, and then we pray for this land, for our leaders, for whether it be at national level or at state level, and pray for each other, that God would have His way in this land. And I think a good way to, you know, we have so much that keeps us busy. Satan likes to use up our time with every little thing he possibly can. So maybe we find it hard to get here on Wednesdays or to be here for the men's prayer time once a month. That's just part of life to some degree. But we might have a solution to that, where we can join together as individuals and still be having our prayers go out in a forceful manner. And I think the answer is in the technology that keeps us away from God sometimes. And I believe it's just right in our cell phone. Because we can talk to more than one person on our cell phone very easily. I think 3 to 5 people can be connected on a call. So my thought is that maybe we can have that where two or three are gathered, be where two or three are connected by our cell phones, and we can share our needs and pray for each other and for the country and whatever we feel that God is putting on our heart at that time. So what I have is a sheet here for the men and for the women to sign into groups. Pink for the women here, so that we got 3 categories of time during the day. I thought that breaking it down into like 7 to 12, 7 to noon in the morning, noon until 5, and then from 5 until 10. So some of you might be having a amount of time needed, I would think, would be somewhere between 15 and 30 minutes. I mean, you can make it longer if you got more time, the two or three that are gathered on the phone, to pray longer if you so desire. You can have bigger groups, but you can put your name down on here, and then we'll see who has got the same time slot, what day of the week. We'll have it here. You can gather the names and then just make arrangements with each of the people in that group to make a phone call at a certain time that day of the week and to pray together. And there's many people, I'll tell you right now, that I've been listening to some things where not just two or three are gathered, but like 50 or so are gathered on a phone conference call praying for this country. People are doing that in this country right now. So we can become part of something similar on a smaller scale. And there's three time slots, so whatever would work best for you. I put every day of the week down here. Obviously, Sunday in the morning will be here, so that wouldn't be probably a time slot. But the other thing this will do is that if you know somebody that is at home, like Nova or like Anita and Jim, and you want to give them a call and say, hey, there's two of us that are praying, would you have time at this time of day to join us in prayer? That would bring them back into the body and feel them that they're part of this body, so they can then also pray with you. So that's a thought that I would like to put out there too, to think of those that are, you know, at home because of sickness or whatever. So there's a sheet for the men, the blue on this side. We'll put that on one side. And you just come up after and sign whichever time slot that you feel that you have time in. And we'll see how we can get this pulled together. This is kind of a beginning phase of this. We'll see whether there's someone that's just available one time but nobody else. Maybe we can work on that. And we'll do this. So we'll sign up over the next couple, 3 weeks. We won't get it all together today. So if you need time to think about it, pray, or if you want to add to it next week, they'll be here available for the next couple weeks up front so we can get some good groups of people together to do this. But it's just so important to be humbling ourselves, asking for repenting of the way things that we haven't maybe stood up for with people around us even, and ask God to answer prayers that we have. And I think we're going to see some. I know that when we had praying for parents on Monday nights, we were very faithful on that, doing that for a year or two, that prayers were answered. And you might want to keep a journal. Once time I was in a praying situation where we kept a journal and we were able to look back after a period of time and see some things that were answered and the way God answered. He won't answer everything right away, but sometimes He does answer them fairly quickly. So anyway, that's what we have for you, Pastor.